Revelation chapter 13. And I'm just really excited about the message here this afternoon, just from the standpoint, you know, we pray that the Lord would give us things, give us insight and understanding of His Word, right application and connection of it together. And, you know, as pastor, I need to teach good, right things, but I think it's appropriate for me to be honest with you about when I don't know what something means in the Scripture. I certainly don't need to make anything up, okay? And then I think that there's... With a right kind of way, a right kind of attitude, and seeking the Lord's face about things, and understanding about His Word and, you know, what it's saying, how it applies, and such as that, I don't think it's wrong within a bounds in a right way. I don't think it's wrong to pose things that could be, that we might see and that we might look and we might pray and understand, you know, what the truth is. Okay. And so, got to be careful about that. I know I got to not drive a stake and get dogmatic about things that we don't have a scripture, to back up. But we pray that the Lord help us and look that he will, okay, in things. And so here in Revelation chapter 13, remember, we're looking at the plagues. That's the theme of these messages. We're warning sinners to flee the wrath to come. And we who are saved are thankful to the Lord that He has not appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation and to be brought unto the Lord. He's not going to judge the righteous with the damned. He's not going to do that. The Scripture's clear about that. But He is going to deal with this earth. He is going to deal with Israel. He is going to deal with sin. And there's going to be a thing that's happening. I call it an element of transition. There's going to be a transition. It's happening. I mean, I think we're coming to it, but there's going to be a transition where this world and the other world, okay, that other place where the Lord is, it's very real there. The angels are real. That side, the other side, you hear me refer to it that way, where the demons operate, where those fallen angels operate, where Satan operates. There's going to come a time that these worlds are going to meet, okay? Because it's all going to be reckoned, and there's not going to be anything hid anymore. And it's going to be seen. One of the things about these end times and the Lord wrapping up about this world and the final judgment of this earth and just the world system in that is that's happening in that. It's going to happen where there's not going to be a cloak. There's not going to be any ability to deny that God is real, God is there, and God is working, and we, mankind, are accountable to Him. It's going to happen. And so, with that in mind, it's time of transition, in that, and we'll try to relate to you here about what I'm thinking in that, and pray the Lord will help us in it. Here in Revelation chapter 13, we've seen this allegory regarding the Lord Jesus Christ and Satan and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ that's given to us in this allegory in chapter 12. In chapter 13, John writes in verse number 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Okay? So here we see John says he's standing upon the sea, or standing upon the sand of the sea. So it seems as if he's back to earth, okay? He is looking out over, because he says, the sand of the sea. Okay, so it seems that the Lord has taken him to a place that he can see these things on the earth, okay, and he sees this beast rise up out of the sea. Now, one thing that I think is so, when we look into the book of Revelation, we see that references to water, references to seas, generally seem to have a meaning of people, mankind, the inhabitants of the earth. I think that Scripture backs that up, and I think that we have seen that even to this point. In regards to these beasts, okay, so John is here. I think he's looking at things upon the earth because out of the sea rises a beast. Now, when we look at beasts and consider about beasts in Revelation, just the book of Revelation, and it's so for the entire Bible, but our study here presently is in Revelation. When we have a reference to beast or beasts, we need to understand that it can be in these ways. It can be animals. Okay, there's some of the plagues that we have seen in judgment of the Lord that even the beasts of the field are going to be against mankind. Okay, we see in beasts another definition of beasts as being the four beasts of the Lord that are around his throne. We've seen about them and read about them even in the Old Testament. We see and need to understand that a reference to a beast. Or that word beast or beast is also sometimes used in reference to Satan himself. In chapter 12, if you will, this allegory of this red dragon, verse number 2, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, is a reference to a beast, and that is Satan. All right, I think the allegory makes that clear in chapter 12. And then we also have references to beast. A beast being Satan operating and moving in the Antichrist. Okay? And so the Antichrist, I think that his situation and his doom is going to be indeed that he's going to be possessed of Satan. Judas was possessed of Satan. And it certainly seems as if the Antichrist will be possessed of Satan. And so he is also referred to as a beast. And then lastly, a reference that we have and a relevance to this definition of the word beast in Revelation is also that of the false prophet, the minister of Satan in support of the Antichrist and the work that he does in doing miracles and deceiving many and such as that. And so here, John says he sees this beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And so this beast rises up out of the sea. Well, what did chapter 12 tell us about that? Well, the same reference there. Let me get my notes organized here. The same reference there is directly to Satan, isn't it? And so we have the direct working of Satan, the manifestation of Satan, whether it be Satan himself or it be Satan working in the man of sin or the Antichrist. Okay? And where is this rising up coming from? Well, it's rising up from the sea. It's rising up, what? From the inhabitants of the earth. Okay? Again, part of what I see, and I think that we clearly understand it, is that the Lord is allowing, he is calling all to judgment and the judgment of the nations and such as that. But then he is allowing that man's way and the way of mankind, the depravity of mankind, the way of sin, the way of Satan, he is allowing that to come, and essentially an element of self-destruction is at hand. And so when depraved men want nothing to do with the Lord, and the Lord backs away, and then he gives, if you will, even more so, Satan his day, we end up with the destruction of all things and the judgment of God found there in the midst of it. And so we saw in chapter 12, verse number 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. All right? And in verse number 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, in verse chapter 12, fought against the dragon. Okay, so it's plain that it's Satan. Okay? And so here we see either Satan himself or his influence, his possession of the man of sin, rising up, generally speaking, from amongst men. He is blasphemous. Why? Because he represents the other way. There's God's way and then there's the other way. And you can take any other way that there is and put it under the other way. If it's not God's way, it's the other way. And he represents everything that is the other way. Okay? I want to remind you, and we looked at this, about the casting down of Satan. Okay? Just in review, we saw and believe the scripture bears out that Satan, Lucifer, as his name was in the time that he was created, he was that highest angel seemingly, or one of them. And he maybe even seemed to be part of the throne of God, possibly, that cherub that covered. I wonder about that. And the Lord Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 18, that he was cast down to the earth, all right, and made to be, at that time, made to be the prince and the power of the air. Jesus beheld him as lightning fall from heaven. So he was cast down. Because of his disobedience, he was cast down. He used to live in heaven. No longer does he. He used to live in the third heaven, but no longer does he. It seems as if, the scripture bears out, that he is yet able to present himself before God in heaven. He's referred to as the accuser of the brethren in chapter 12, verse number 10 of Revelation. So he's able to accuse the brethren. It says here day and night. So it seems as if he has access presently, but there's coming a day that he will not have access. Jesus, when Jesus came and went to the cross of Calvary, and those scriptures that we read about the Lord Jesus and what he said, because of Jesus' accomplishing of the gospel and fulfilling the will of the Father for his people, he made it then that the devil can be cast out. Okay? And so there's coming a time that Jesus gained the victory on Calvary and by his resurrection, so that there will come a time that Satan will be cast out. We saw that in this allegory in chapter 12, where Michael and his angels fight with the dragon and his angels. And in verse number 9 of chapter 12, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, so that's very plain, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so now there's no more conflict regarding Satan in heaven. That part is done, and Satan's world is shrinking. Okay? He was yet once, he yet again will be cast down. And in chapter 12, verse number 10, he says, "And I heard a loud voice saying from heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So that's coming. I don't believe that that's happened yet, but I believe indeed that is coming. Verse number 12 of chapter 12, I know this was review, but just to put this together in one at one time, and the latter part of this verse, that "for the devil has come down unto you, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time." So see, it's a marker that Satan's going to know everything God said has come to pass, and now he has no more entrance to heaven, seemingly. And he was defeated. He didn't win, but it's foretold that he will lose the battle, the war. And he does lose the war, and he knows one more point again that what God has said will come to pass. He knows his time is short, okay? And so he was cast down. Now, he will be cast down finally or next after this battle and he cast to the earth. He will be cast into the bottomless pit. That's coming yet in the future also. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. The angel that has the key already of the bottomless pit will bind him with a chain and cast him into the bottomless pit. So he will be yet cast down again. His world is getting smaller and smaller. His sphere of influence is getting smaller and smaller. Then after the 1,000-year reign, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, after the 1,000-year reign, he'll be loosed for a season, gather the nations of the world together against the holy city and against God, and then God will burn him up, and then he'll be cast into the lake of fire. He'll be ultimately cast down to the pit. Okay, so remember about that casting down of the Lord. I've asked you questions about the bottomless pit. I wonder about that, and I don't want to read more into it than what there is, but there is this thing of transition that I trust the Lord has helped with and blessed with in this, and so I pose this to you, okay? And I desire you to seek the Lord's face regarding this, that we might know the truth about it, we might have understanding about it, and if it is wrong, I want to understand what's right, and if this isn't a right approach to do it, then forgive me. But I think it's in the pursuit of honesty. You know, we need to be honest, and we want to seek the Lord's face. And there's safety in a multitude of counselors, and we trust. The Lord says that He's given us all the unction. He's all given us all the indwelling of the Spirit. He's given us all, we who are saved and in the church, the anointing of the Lord. And so I am your pastor, and I'm to lead in spiritual things, but I'm not the end all, and there may be things that I forget, okay? And so I'm going about it this way to present this to you, and I want to consider, I've had a quandary about the bottomless pit. Is this, we know it's created by God, because Satan creates nothing, okay? So we know it is the Lord's. And regarding the bottomless pit, we saw first, the first mention of the bottomless pit is in chapter 9. Take a look over here quickly. In chapter 9, verse number 1, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." And I'd posed a question about, is the key given to the star? Is it given to the angel? I believe it's given to the angel. Okay? Because of this, turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse number 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Brothers and sisters, I propose to you that this consideration about the bottomless pit is this, is that it's the Lord's gateway from the other side to this side. The bottomless pit is the Lord's gateway from the other side to this side. Okay? Because we see a couple of things that happened with the bottomless pit. Who opened it? Effectively, it was God. It wasn't Satan that opened it. It was the Lord. Because the angel of the Lord is given the key. And he opens it. And remember, we see in that bottomless pit that the Lord opens this bottomless pit by virtue of giving this authority, the key of such, to this angel. Okay? This is not an origination of Satan. Okay, but this is the Lord's control. It seems very much that the bottomless pit is literal. I take that as literal. I think it's going to be a pit, a bottomless pit on this earth. Now, I was reading after Brother E.G. Cook this past week, and it is very interesting, but I don't agree with it. The brother took this whole passage and took it to just totally be spiritualized, and that these are false teachers, and the smoke ascending out of the bottomless pit is just the bad teaching of false teachers in the world, and they have this angel of the bottomless pit over them, which is the influence of Satan. You know, I don't see that, because and maybe it's so. If that's the truth, I want to know that. But I think that this whole thing about these creatures, these first creatures that are loosed out of the bottomless pit, is just that man's nightmare in pursuit of fantasy and pursuit of there being other creatures and subject to aliens. Some people are just really weirded out with this alien thing. I mean, if you look into it very much, there's people that think that they're possessed by aliens presently. And all that is a distraction from what the real thing, the real issue at hand is they need the Savior. And God is to be honored above all. And so I disagree with our brother. I think it's literal. And I think that these creatures will be so. And then they come out. I don't think we have any reason to think that they would not be. And so the angel opens the bottomless pit. There's these creatures like locusts in chapter 9 with scorpions' tails, faces of men, hair like women, teeth like lions, breastplates of iron, wings, stingers, and they torment men for 5 months that have not the seal of God. Have we not seen that there's four creatures in heaven that are unlike anything you and I have ever seen before? And those are holy creatures. They're made by God. They've got one face on this side, one face on the other side, another face on the third side, another face on the fourth side. And they've got eyes in their wings within and without. And with two of their wings, they cover the feet. With two of their wings, they cover the body. And two of their wings, they fly. God can create anything he wants to for his honor and glory and praise. And so if these locust creatures that we first see come out of the bottomless pit that God effectively has opened by giving this key to this angel, and I think we see this angel later on, that he takes Satan and binds him and throws him in that pit, that we see the judgment of the Lord upon those who don't have the seal. And they're not able to kill, but they are able to torment for 5 months. And so what do we see? We see those creatures having been created by God. If that is so, and we can take that certainly literally, if we can take that literally, we see that created by God. And if you will, that which is in that other world embarking to this world and becoming very, very real. Okay? So we just lay that, I'll just lay that there. In chapter 11, we see the two witnesses. Okay? And we see in chapter 11 that there was the two witnesses of the Lord. They're definitely of the Lord, aren't they? They're the Lord's men. They're there for 3.5 years, and they're able to bring famine, they're able to bring drought and stop the rain and do all those kind of things. And anybody on the earth that assaults them, they kill them. Is there anyone on the earth that can stand against them? Not at all. Not at all. There's none on the earth. And no doubt that the world will bring the firepower of the world to assault them. That which remains. And they will not be successful against these two men. And I wonder if they, does it say that they're clothed in sackcloth? I don't know if it says that or not. But I wonder, that does. Okay, that's where I got that. It's in the Bible. And so that's good. I remembered something. See, they're there to be a testimony against wickedness and sin. They're not there for a good time. But they're there to witness to the truth. Nothing on the earth can defeat them. Until what? We see this. In verse number 7 of chapter 12, we see the bottomless pit mentioned. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. The bottomless pit, the gateway of the Lord from the other side to this side. Remember, Michael and his angels fought against Satan, the dragon and his angels, and the dragon, Satan, and his angels are cast to the earth. Who's the only one that can defeat the witnesses? Well, by the will and the work of God, it's only Satan that is allowed to defeat the witnesses. And he's referred to as the beast. Okay? He's referred to as the beast. What's it say? And the beast that ascendeth up out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them. Remember, the bottomless pit was locked. And Satan does work spiritually. And I was thinking about that. Satan appeared before the Lord in Job, right? And we believe that that's on the other side. I don't know how else to refer to that. In the third heaven, if you will. And it's that spiritual side. But angels are very, very real. You know, these creatures are very, very real. They have substance, I believe. However that is. The dimensions of God are without number. It's hard for we who live here in a three-dimensional world to understand God and where he dwells. We just try to stretch to do it. And so he was there. And then in the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan appears to the Lord Jesus, doesn't he? And I believe that the Lord, that Satan really took him to the pinnacle of the temple and really took him to a high mountain. I don't have any reason to believe that was just a spiritual thing, but I believe that the Lord, that the scripture, what it says, and took him to, I believe that that's what it says, took him to. So, but other than that, all we see then is the effect of Satan in Judas and the effect of demons upon men, women, boys, and girls upon the earth. But here at the time of these two witnesses, we see this beast that rises up out of the bottomless pit. And I wonder, I'll say it that way, if that's not Satan's arrival having been cast down by Michael and his angels. because none upon the earth were able to defeat the witnesses, but the beast is able to defeat the witnesses. And they're killed. And so now, could this be Satan working in his Antichrist? Indeed, it could be. It could be the manifestation of that. Well, see, nothing that the Antichrist does is not without the working and the will and the power of Satan behind him. Antichrist will be a willing accomplice, but he will be possessed of Satan. There is a sense that, you know, think about it. Antichrist is the antitype of Jesus Christ. He's the counter of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus does all the will of the Father, and yet he is part of the Godhead. And then Satan, the best fakery that Satan can do is to possess a man and try to present him as the Messiah. Okay? And then we go on, and in chapter 17, we see a mention here about the bottomless pit. Okay? So we see creatures out of the bottomless pit. We see a beast that defeats the witnesses out of the bottomless pit. And then in chapter 17, we see what? We see a beast, a scarlet colored beast, right? That's what the scripture says there. Let me get over here. In chapter 12, verse number 3, it was a great red dragon, right? In chapter 17, we see in verse number 3, so he carried me away in the spirit. Now see, that means he didn't go there, but he saw this. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. That's Satan. That's Satan, the working of Satan. Because it's made very clear in chapter 12 that is him. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and so on. And she represents the religious iniquity of Satan. And then in verse number 8 we see, and the beast that thou sawest was and is not. So he did exist and is not. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So this red beast, 7 heads, 10 horns, is going to come up out of the bottomless pit. And again, I wonder if that isn't the gateway and the throwing down of Satan when Michael and his angels defeat Satan and his minions, and they are manifested to this earth. The beast thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. It'll just go worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So I'll give it Antichrist under the influence of Satan. Yes. Satan himself. Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Okay. And then in chapter 20, we read this. And I saw an angel, verse number 1, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. So he wasn't given a key, he had the key. I think that would be the angel from Revelation 9. And then verse number 3, and he bound that old serpent, the dragon. Okay, let's read verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon that came up out of the bottomless pit, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, Satan has come and his influence has increased, or his arrival here upon earth, or his limitation to the earth has been via the bottomless pit. And now the bottomless pit, because it is God's, he's created it and he's using it for his purpose, is a holding place for this same one for 1,000 years. The bottomless pit is the Lord's, and he uses it however he sees fit. Okay? And so, pose those things to you in that. A couple more things to say. There seems to be a transition from where Satan is not seen as it is now. See, we don't see Satan, but we do see his influence, don't we? We see Satan's influence in the scriptures. The same as the angels are not seen presently. But angels will be seen in the future, as is mentioned in Revelation. There's going to be the angel that's going to carry the gospel through the sky to the inhabitants of the earth, right? You remember where that's at? Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Wait a minute. The bottomless pit is visible, right? If the bottomless pit is upon the earth, it's visible. And so won't it be seen at the coming of the Lord Jesus and the binding of Satan? Will it not be seen that Satan would be cast into the bottomless pit by the angel with the chain? Is that a spiritual fair that's going to happen? See, the other world and this world are going to come together. We're going to go from not seeing Jesus to seeing Jesus. Remember, the saints are coming in the clouds with the Lord Jesus, amen, riding white horses. Jesus, who we don't see now, but know that he is, and he's the head of our church. He goes from not being seen to being seen. The other world and this world are going to collide, and the Lord's going to wrap this thing up. Okay? Okay? So he's bound and he's cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and I believe that I'm wondering if that will not be seen. It's told here in Revelation 20. Jesus and the saints will go from not being seen to being seen in this world, to ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. See, there's a point of transition where the heavenly comes to the earth, okay? Where the spiritual or that other realm, that other side comes and is manifested to this earth. When the Lord brings the truth to a climax, there will be a transition. In Revelation chapter 16, let's take a look here. Revelation chapter 16. I wonder about this. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Well, the man of sin is going to be seen. The false prophet's going to be seen. I'm beginning to wonder if Satan himself won't be manifested too. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Let's take a look at this. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, speaking about Lucifer, and in a verse here that I find interesting, verse number 16, Isaiah 14, 16, "And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee." Spiritually or physically? "Saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms?" Satan is going to be brought so low to the sides of the pit, he'll be looked upon not as an angel, but even as a man. And the redeemed of the Lord will look on and say, "Is this the one that did all this, that wreaked all this havoc?" But he'll be brought low. He'll be brought to bow before the Lord. And the two witnesses, we believe that you can see them, right? Will they be killed by an invisible force? Or will they be killed by a visible Satan? Or a visible Antichrist under the influence of Satan, that beast? Because it's someone from another place is able to have power over them. No inhabitant of the earth had power. And Michael has kicked Satan and his gang out of access of heaven. His wrath is great. And understand, only he that letteth now will let till he be taken out of the way. See, most likely I would venture that Satan has refrained from exposing himself. I wonder about that. But in time, as the Lord backs up more and he closes down his world, he may reveal himself when he can. I just wonder about these things. And then the bottomless pit is seemingly is the Lord's gateway for that evil and wicked on the other side to manifest itself on this side. And it's also the bottomless pit is used for the Lord's judgment. We see that in that. Okay. Then in Revelation chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. So see, here Satan, he's limited to the earth. It's the only place he can go. And he's being brought lower and lower, being more and more and more constrained by the Lord. And so what's he do? He rises up amongst the damned, amongst men who are depraved and without the Lord. And the man of sin rises up. I don't dispute that. I think that this could either be, if Satan is manifested physically, then it can be. Jesus will be. And then if it's not, then it's him working in the man of sin. Okay? And so then it says, having seven heads and ten horns. Seven heads. In chapter 12, we saw the first reference to this of seven heads, okay, in the New Testament. And we see from this, this chapter tells us plainly is that dragon, that beast, that red beast is Satan, or the working of Satan, whether it's Satan directly or his influence in a man, okay, the Antichrist, okay? And so we saw that. In chapter 13, we're reading about that, and here's another reference. And so this is the working of Satan directly or his influence in the man of sin. And then in chapter 17, in verse number 1, let's read there. Chapter 17, verse number 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, Come unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. See, this is the other way. This is the religious other way. Okay? Because see, in this chapter, you're going to see in verse number 16 that beast is going to be caused, the ten horns, ten kings are going to be caused to hate the whore, and they're going to devour her. Religion's out. But secular government and money, financial, is in. And all that together is all to be, is Satan seeks it to be to his honor and glory and praise. Religion's out. Satan is worshiped by submitting to him and following the way of the flesh. And really, Satan is followed by just don't do anything that God wants you to do. That's the way Satan's followed. Okay? And so religion has been used by Satan, but his religion, Mystery Babylon, is going to be devoured. Okay? So he carried me away, verse 3, in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, or a red beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. So we see here, once again, a reference, seven heads and ten horns. In chapter 17, verse 7, we've read this. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast thou sawest was and is not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So there we've read that. Go into perdition, and they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And they, when they behold the beast that was and is and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, look down here in verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. I just want to throw a couple things out here to you. And I didn't realize this, but every continent has its mountain. And where is there not upon the earth the way of man, the way of depravity, and the way of Satan? Where is there not upon the earth the influence? You know, in Antarctica, they're not looking to put a mission point there. But they're looking very much, the governments of the world are looking to take and pursue science, falsely so-called, to discredit and discount God. Amen? The influence of man and wickedness and the other way is prominent and prevalent upon the whole world. Okay? And listen to what it says. Verse 9, and here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. She rides on this. Satan is the prince and the power of the air. He is the ruler of this world, unless the Lord intervenes. It's his system. And he's looking to gain and gather the entire world together. Now, it's the whore that is the city. What's it say there in the last verse of that chapter? The woman which thou sawest that rides upon Satan, Satan's system, the way of Antichrist. Satan manifested that way, however that will be. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, that we would think to be Rome, and certainly could be, okay? Well, but you know how many cities there are in the world that are built on seven hills? All kinds. Jerusalem's one of them. So it's not only Rome. Istanbul is one, isn't it? Or Constantinople. Man, that goes back to the Roman Empire and Constantine taking irregular churches and bringing them into the government in the Romish way. And I find that interesting. I printed that out, and I've got so excited I lost it. I think the list would top 30 cities in the world that are built on seven hills. So understand, I think maybe it's just me. Maybe I got it confused and no one else has. But there's a difference between the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. She's sitting on top of the beast that has seven heads. And she's riding the way of Satan that rules and dominates all over the whole world. And maybe it is Rome. But maybe it'll be Babylon. Mystery Babylon is her name. Babylon that goes all the way back, again, the other way. Not the way of God, but the other way. Brother Mark brought it out in his Sunday school lesson about those that didn't call upon the name of the Lord. That way. In whatever way they did. Mystery Babylon that goes all the way back. It's connected to the deception of Satan and the waywardness of man and Nimrod doing his own thing on this side of the flood. Mystery Babylon. Rome, the Catholicism, universalism is a part of it. But we've seen in our day that Islam is on the rise. And Islam's mystery Babylon at work too. It's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting. And so, seven heads and ten horns. And then lastly, we've seen all this about the seven heads, and in this lastly in verse number 9, and here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains upon which the woman sitteth. I wonder about this representation of this red beast and the seven heads and the ten horns, if that's not talking about the world system that stretches across the face of the earth. Real quickly, and we'll close, a contrast between the Father and the Lord Jesus and Satan and the Antichrist. The Father and Son are and always have been unified, haven't they? They think alike. If you will, just from the standpoint of us understanding it, the Father thinks it and the Son says, I was thinking the same thing. The Father says, I will to do this, and the Son says, yes, that's right. That's what we need to do. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. The Lord's together. The Lord and the Father are together. They've always been together. They always will be together. And we, being saved, we've been drawn into that unity by the blood of the Lamb. The Son is a deity, one of the Trinity. And don't ever deny that. There's a world of folks out here that want to deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is God. He is God, come down in the flesh. And He is God. He's right there. He is God. He's one of the Trinity. And He is there with the Father and there with the Holy Spirit. And they are one. The Father and the Son love one another. We read some about that this morning. And indeed, that's where you find love. They love one another and they've always loved one another. And they know indeed what love is because they sacrificed for the likes of you and me. Amen? They know what love is. And that in contrast to Satan and the Antichrist, right? Isn't that what Satan's trying to be? He's trying to be like God or like God the Father. He's got to have his Messiah. He's got to have his antitype of the Lord Jesus Christ. And think about it. What does Satan do? Satan only loves himself. But the Father and the Lord Jesus loved us. Satan only loves himself and his way. The Antichrist is his puppet. Think about it. And granted, in the Antichrist's depravity as a man, he's a willing accomplice. But Satan cares nothing about him. He didn't care anything about Judas. He doesn't care anything about the Antichrist. He cares nothing of his destruction. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 20, it says there that Satan has slain his people, to paraphrase, and destroyed his land. But what does the Lord do? The Lord saves his people. And he gives us the promised land. Amen. A land flowing with milk and honey. May God help. May God help us to understand. And may the Lord bless his word in these things. I'm interested to hear from you. It's a blessing to get something from the Lord and to understand what's here. Don't need to make any more than what's here. And I don't want to go beyond what's here, but I do want to understand what the Lord's given. And if I'm wrong, I pray the Lord to show me what's right. Because I don't want to lead the church. I don't want to present doctrine that's incorrect. But the Lord's given us this, and with his blessing, maybe we can have some understanding of it and know. You know, it may be that in the coming of these things, before the Lord Jesus comes back, we read a place where it said, he that hath wisdom, understand what's going on. If we look into it and understand it, put it in its right place, we don't need to get in a situation, and I have no plan of studying prophecy from here on out. It's just a piece. It's a piece of the pie. But it may be that with understanding these things from the Scriptures, that we could have wisdom and could see the setup of these end things before the Lord Jesus comes back. Only the Father knows when, and I'm not looking to find the when. Okay? I'm not looking to find when Jesus comes. Every one of us in the house needs to be ready right now. Need to be ready for Jesus appearing right now. But I do want to look into what he's given us and what he has. And we see here in chapter 13 that John says, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, not out of the bottomless pit. I think he's already arrived on the earth. But he works amongst men, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. 10 notable nations of the earth, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And then in chapter 2, or verse number 2, we'll go on and look with the Lord's help and blessing to tie in some things that Daniel was given. You know, Daniel prayed and he was given understanding of some things. And we're not going to get any new revelation, okay? You know, if I come over here and say, well, I got a new word from God and it's a 67th book, then you all need to do something with me, okay? Because that's not going to happen. But we can look into what we have. And pray the Lord to help us and with understanding and blessing as he's pleased in it. And try to be a good student of the Word of God.